We'll turn to our first praise, Psalm number 20. Psalm number 20, we'll sing the whole of the psalm, verses 1 through to verse 9. Jehovah, hear thee in the day when trouble he doth send, and let the name of Jacob's God thee from all ill defend. The tune is Humility. Jehovah, hear thee in the day.
Jehovah, hear thee in the day.
In thyself.
they are precious words we have just sung there. Deliver, Lord, and let the King hear us when we do call. And there we have prayed that our blessed Redeemer, the King, would hear us, that he would continue to make intercession when we plead with God tonight. Well, let me add to the welcome that John has given earlier. You're most welcome here tonight. It's good to see you. I'm very grateful that you've been able to spare the time to come. Well, may the Lord bless us together. Just a reminder, after this time, there will be further opportunity for fellowship and refreshments as well. I've just been asked by the Reverend Hal Roberts to send his greetings. He was unable to be here tonight. Early in the week, he had planned to come, but at the last moment, he wasn't able to come. He's remembering us here in prayer tonight, and he wanted me to let you know that he was thinking of us at this time. Well, just for a few moments tonight, if we just turn to Psalm 44. Psalm 44, and I'd like us to read from verse 23. Psalm 44 and verse 23. Let us hear God's word. Awake, why sleepest thou, O Lord? Arise, cast us off not forever. Wherefore hidest thou thy face, and forgettest our affliction and our oppression? For our soul is bowed down to the dust, our belly cleaveth unto the earth. Arise for our help, and redeem us for thy mercy's sake. And particularly just those words for a few moments in verse 23. Awake, why sleepest thou, O Lord? Arise, cast us not off forever. The psalmist in Psalm 77 reasons as he considers the situation that was before him. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favourable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies, Selah? And I said, this is mine infirmity. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. Dear brethren, in a difficult day wherein one may sink and question, will there be a springtime of blessing following this long winter of declension? Let us remember what the Lord has done in times past. And with this in mind, let us renew our confidence in him. Consider what he has done, how he has blessed his cause, how he has revived so often down through history. Let us look to him, for he has not changed. We thought earlier tonight, he's the eternal one. He's the unchanging one. Remember this and look to him. He is able again to revive us. Well, the psalmist goes on there in Psalm 77, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is a so great God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. He reflects. He considers God and what God has done, and what God is doing. And let us tonight reflect upon what God has done, but what he is doing, particularly in certain parts of the world. Now here in the psalm before us tonight, the psalmist on behalf of the church begins by calling to mind past favours, but then he proceeds to complain of the present difficulties in which they themselves were in, and the low state that they had found themselves in which they felt God was at a distance. Just notice verse 9. But thou hast cast off and put us to shame, and goest not forth with our armies. What has happened? God seems at a distance. There does not seem to be a going forward. The army seems not to be blessed. We can consider what has happened to the church in recent years. What a low state we arrived at a few years ago in this nation. Now we are thankful for the encouragements we know in these days, but these are difficult and challenging days. And therefore we are to wrestle with the Lord. We are to plead with him that he would awake, as we see in verse 23, but also arise, as we see particularly in verse 26. That God would come, that God would bless, and that God would so help us in these days. Well, just two words tonight for the remainder of the time. First of all, awake, and secondly, arise. Verse 23, awake, why sleepest thou, O Lord? Arise, cast us off not, off forever. And then verse 26, arise for our help, and redeem us for thy mercy's sake. Awake, why sleepest thou, O Lord? Now when we think of these words, we are led, are we not, to utter them with care. We're addressing the Lord. Awake, why sleepest thou, O Lord? They were uttered with care. Considering God, we are to utter them with care. But they are earnestly spoken. Awake, why sleepest thou, O Lord? Arise, cast us off not forever. The psalmist, the church there, considering the situation, the low state in which they found themselves, and they earnestly pray. Awake, why sleepest thou, O Lord? When we think of this word, awake, we often think of those who awake early in the morning. They're aroused from natural sleep. They're conscious and they're beholding. We wake up in the morning. We're aroused from our sleep and we are beholding things. We are conscious. Now God never sleeps. In Psalm 121, verse 2, we read, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. He does not slumber. I say it reverently. He does not drift. And he does not sleep. He's ever watchful of us. And dear brethren, that's a great comfort, isn't it? He's watchful of us in these days of difficulty where we see so little before us. He's watching us, and in all the situations we face and the trials we come up against, he ever watches over us. He is our Heavenly Father who watches over us with a tender eye of compassion. But here we read, awake, why sleepest thou? And as we think of this, the context, considering what has happened to the church all those years ago, it seems that God is sleeping. Things are going bad for the church. Things are not going forward. It seems as though he is asleep because of the things that are happening. John Gill writes, not that God sleeps properly, for he is the keeper of Israel. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. He watches over us, but sometimes he seems, and it is thought, he is asleep. Awake, why sleepest thou? There is the hiding of his face. Notice verse 24. Wherefore hidest thou thy face, and forgettest our affliction and our oppression? It seems that he's withdrawn himself, that he's forgotten us, as one would do if they were asleep. Wherefore hidest thou thy face and forgettest our affliction and our oppression? Why sleepest thou? The ungodly were flourishing. Where is his arm of power? It seems, and I say it carefully, that he has fallen asleep. We're not delivered from these difficult days. It seems that he is asleep. Well, here we read, awake. Why sleepest thou, O Lord? And we think particularly here in this word awake, to arouse from sleep. And the thought here particularly is that the Lord would so think on us and remember us and come to our aid. In a moment we'll note the word arise. And the first word here, translated as arise in verse 23, is very similar to the word awake. Awake, arise, and come and help us. Now, he always remembers us. But in light of the psalm, we are praying that he, as it were, would awake and so think upon us in these days, that he would awake and remember us because of his covenant. He would awake and think on us because of Christ. That he would awake and so focus his eye upon us because of his mercy. That he would awake for the glory of his name. Awake, why sleepest thou, Lord? So look on us and come to our aid in these days. Awake, why sleepest thou? Must we carefully ask him in these words to awake? Firstly, it is that he would help us and deal with our enemies. In Psalm 7 verse 6 we read, Arise, O Lord, in thine anger, lift up thyself because of the rage of mine enemies, and awake for me to the judgment that thou hast commanded. The psalmist thinking of his enemies, and he's praying that God would awake and so judge and deal. But then secondly, as we think of these words, awake, why sleepest thou, that God would awake and deliver us from the present low condition and raise us up again. You see, the psalmist here and the people of God look back to a better day. They pray that such days would return, that God, as it were, would awake and help them and strengthen them and raise them up. And that's our prayer. We can all look back to better days when the church flourished here in this country. Or that God would awake and that we would see better days again. Deliver us up. Deliver us rather. Raise us up. Remember us and bless us. Awake, why sleepest thou? Now before we move on, in the Song of Solomon 4 verse 16 we read these words. Awake, O north wind. And come thou south, blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out, that let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. And there is a prayer, particularly to the Holy Spirit, that he would awake. We see so little today. We see so little being convicted of sin. We see so little in the way of those being led to consider Christ and that they flee to him. Oh, that the Holy Spirit would awake, that he would revive, that he would comfort, and that he would bless. A particular prayer there to the Holy Spirit. Awake. Well, as we consider our triune God as a whole tonight, in verse 23, awake, why sleepest thou? Make known thyself to us. In a wonderful way, make known thine arm of power and deal for us. Well, let's consider the second word tonight. Arise. Awake, why sleepest thou, O Lord? Arise, cast us not off forever. And then verse 26. Arise for our help and redeem us for thy mercy's sake. Awake and arise. Now the particular Hebrew word translated in verse 23 as arise is very similar to the word awake. Awake, arise, and you think of one who wakes up and they arise from their bed. They are aroused. Arise. But the second word in verse 26 is a different word. Arise for our help and redeem us for thy mercy's sake. In verse 23 we're thinking of the Lord, as it were, awaking, arising. But in verse 26, the particular thought is that he arises to act. That's the particular emphasis there. The thought of him arising. He's coming. He's prepared to act for us. He's standing up to help us. He's coming to our aid. He will appear, and his power will be manifested in such a great and glorious way. That when God arises, let his enemies be warned. Let them tremble. But let the people of God be comforted and rejoice. Awake, arise, stand to help us. Think of one arising. They get up and then they come. And that's what we're praying for tonight. That God would arise and that he then would come. Come and help us. Appear for us. Arise. These are amazing words, aren't they? Asking God to awake and then asking God to arise. We're pleading with him that he would stand up and show himself in such a wonderful way. Arise, O thou almighty God, support and deliver us. Arise, O thou King of kings, defend us and enlarge the kingdom. Arise, stand and act for us. Come to our aid. Arise for our help. And when he arises, it means he will be on his way to help us. Now we read in Psalm 102 verse 13. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion. For the time to favour her, yea, the set time is come. Thou shalt arise. We pray for it. We pray that the Lord would arise, that he would be there ready to act, that he would come, and he will. Thou shalt arise. There is a day coming in which God will so seem to be one standing and blessing his cause and helping her. Perhaps now he is, if I say this carefully, he's stirring in light of verse 23. Perhaps very soon he'll be on his way. Our prayer is that he would awake and then that he would arise and be on his way. Thou shalt arise. And in light of that psalm, we are in expectation that we will know that God has arisen. And we will know that God is coming and that further he has come. He will arise. He hear the prayers of his people. In Psalm 12 verse 13, verse 5. For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. Now will I arise. He looks on. He hears the sighing. He hears the cry. He sees the oppression. He sees that they are assaulted by many an enemy, attacked by the devil. Now will I arise. He will hear, and he will arise. He's looking on us now. He doesn't slumber nor sleep. He will arise, and he will come. We plead with him. He will answer our prayers, and he himself will come. And are we not thankful for that? But the one we cry to will respond and come himself. Well, we pray tonight that God, and we pray carefully, that God would awake tonight. And that God would arise. And if he so awakes, and if he so arises in these days, what a change there will be in the church and further in the nation. We need God to come. And so we're praying for him to awake and for him to arise. And our song will be one day, Thou shalt arise and have mercy on Zion. And we will see such mercy upon us. We can be in expectation. He will come. What a privilege to ask him to come. To ask him to look on us, see the situation and come. But as we pray this, as we pray that God would awake, pray it with faith in your heart. As you ask God to arise, pray it believingly. He will arise. What a day it will be when we know that God has come. That God has so blessed us again. He's listening. He's watching. But there will be a day when you will know that God has awoken and the nation will know it as well. May soon God awake, and may soon our prayers be heard. He's come, and the church is blessed again.